2008, I served as an intentional interim pastor for First Church in lovely Wilson, North Carolina. It was an interesting place to work. Governor Jim Hunt was a member of the congregation, and it kept me on my toes. One day, an elder came into my office just to talk a little while, and when he saw what I was wearing, he offered a little friendly counsel. He said, "Bill, people in Wilson don't care much for bow ties. You know, they make us think of lawyers." Now, over the years, I have heard plenty of lawyer jokes. Any lawyers out there? Plenty of lawyer jokes. I've also told a few, but I've got to say I have a lot of respect for attorneys, for counselors and advocates. My dad was a lawyer. My brother-in-law is an attorney down in D.C. His uncle taught law at the University of Virginia. And John Calvin was a lawyer as well as a pastor. So if seeing me in a bow tie makes someone think of lawyers, advocates, counselors, well, that's okay by me. I don't mind a bit. And I'll bet that Jesus would not have minded being seen in that way himself, particularly given how Christ functioned and how he spoke about himself. In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, we find Jesus preparing his disciples for his coming death, his departure. He assures them that though he's going to leave them, he will return to take them where he will be going. He says that he's going to God, the Father, and that in fact they will be going to God as well in him. Jesus pictures himself going to heaven, getting close to God. He'll be at the right hand of the Father, perhaps, right there, where he could, so to speak, plead for them, plead their case, their cause. "Your Honor, consider their circumstances," where he could be their advocate. And would they have wanted anyone else to play that crucial role for them? Jesus, the Word of God, having come to earth, having become flesh, having come alongside of them, having shared their struggles, having sympathized with them in their weakness, having counseled them on how to live the kingdom life, knowing the best and the worst about them, and loving them unconditionally. Jesus was perfect for that work. He was perfectly suited to be an advocate with the Father on their behalf. They couldn't have asked for a better one. But still, knowing that the thought of his death and departure was making his disciples anxious, still Jesus determined to address their concern. "Tell you what I'm going to do," he said. "I'm going to ask God to send you another counselor, the one who will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. That's what I'll do for you," he says. So it would be Jesus at the right hand of the Father and the Spirit right there with them, among them, within them. They'd have a two-person team working on their behalf. Now, you probably know some teams work better than other teams. I mean, to function well and effectively, teammates have to know each other very well. They have to trust each other deeply. They have to communicate clearly so that they don't work at cross purposes. Jesus assured those disciples that that wouldn't happen. He said that he and the Spirit would be fully in sync with each other. They would be on the very same page. There was hardly any difference between them. For the disciples, it would be very nearly like having him right there with them. This Spirit I'll have the Father send to you. You know it already because it dwells with you. It is dwelling with you now in me, he said to those disciples. It would be like having him wherever they were, like having his wisdom and encouragement still, his counsel and his truthful talks with them, like having his presence and his power, his comfort, still with them, still within them, as they continued with their life and their ministry, as they tried to be faithful day by day, to do what he commanded them to do, as they encountered challenges, as they had to make hard decisions, as they experienced frustrations and failures and needed to forgive and to be forgiven and to receive fresh strength and direction. They would have the Spirit's help on earth, and they would have Jesus' help at the Father's side in heaven. What wouldn't you give to have such advocates, friends, such counselors continually at work on your behalf? Honestly, you could not give enough for that. Nowhere near what it would take to have such people on retainer for you, and neither could I. But as a gift, offered in absolute love from the Father. In absolute love from the Father. God has provided us this very help as a gift. This team of advocates has been put in place to help us walk the way of discipleship, to help us be formed into the community of disciples, to help us live more faithfully in a world that denies that it belongs to God, whoever that is, and that frequently laughs at those who say they do belong to God. It is a world that sometimes calls us foolish, or sometimes calls us things much worse. Do you groan ever? Groan sometimes from the sting of being put down or mocked for being a disciple of Jesus, for being a Christian? Do you ever ache with sympathy because someone that you love is in deep distress over that or something else? Have you got questions without answers, quandaries for which there just don't seem to be solutions? Have you made grave mistakes for which you need divine forgiveness before you'll ever be able to go on? God has put in place the very ones that we need to offer us counsel, to plead our case, to intercede for us with sighs too deep for words. God has. The only thing that we can do is use our own poor words, speak with our own inadequate language to God. And we do speak in that way. But this team of holy counselors speaks God's language, speaks the living word, speaks not mano y mano, but word to word on our behalf. And it is so good to have advocates like these, counselors of the highest quality and competence. It is good. God is good. But here is a thought that one of my colleagues shared. What if the Spirit has been sent to us not only to assure us that our causes will be taken to God, but also to ensure that God's causes will be brought to us? Anna Carter Florence one time wondered, what if the Spirit advocate also is here to plead God's cause? What if God needs a good lawyer to open our eyes to what an amazingly beautiful world this is? What if God needs a really good lawyer to speak to us on behalf of the poor and the lonely and the marginalized around us? What if God needs a really, really good lawyer to wake us up to the damage being done to our environment, to the damage that we also are inflicting on the world by our lifestyles and our choices? What if God needs the best lawyer there is to create an aching hunger for peace within our hearts and a willingness to work to bring about that peace in little places where we live and among those with whom we share life? Yes, for sure, you and I need an advocate to plead our case and to carry our concerns before the throne of mercy. But perhaps the greatest need that you and I and other disciples have from day to day is for openness to the Spirit Counselor who is whispering. Do you know that? Whispering within and among us all the time, pointing things out, translating God's word into language we can kind of understand, encouraging us to speak when we need to speak, and to be silent when we ought to be silent, and to act when our action is called for, encouraging us, prodding us to be more gracious, more hospitable, and less fearful of those we don't know, of those who are different from us, of those who have different ideas, those who are living on the margins or who are being scapegoated by the larger culture, urging us to risk ourselves and even the church for the sake of love, and to make a true and needed difference, a gracious difference in others' lives before it is too late. Do you hear the whispering of the Holy Spirit sometimes? Friends, that Spirit stands by to help and to hold and to heal, to hear what God wants to hear from us, and to take part in a holy conversation, to lead a holy conversation. How can we help one another? And this is part of our holy work as God's people, as a community of faith. How can we help one another be open to the Spirit and listen for those whisperings, to hear what the Spirit's saying, to take part ourselves in that holy conversation? How can we help one another in that good work? To what needs in Colombia is the Spirit directing your attention today? What is the advocate whispering to any of you now? I wonder. And who would ever have pictured Jesus sitting with his disciples somewhere, wearing a bow tie. In the name of, I would. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen.